Last Sunday, we talked about the example that the Apostle Paul gives us as far as commitment and how we can take from him, from his commitment, and we can draw from that to increase our commitment and be more committed to our constitution of what we said we were going to do, our resolution as to serving God and being faithful as Christians and trying to be good Christians. This morning, I would like to talk about the measure of a strong Christian. Now, we can look at 1 Samuel chapter 16. We'll start there, verses 6 and 7. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. We've got a few more people come in. That's all right. We're just getting started. We're going to start with 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. I just did a little recap of what we studied last week, talking about the Apostle Paul and his commitment and his example of setting his example for us. And we can learn from that to increase our commitment. But today, we're going to talk about the measure of a strong Christian. And we're going to look at chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting at verse 6 and 7. Now, when Samuel was sent to anoint the new king of Israel, he learned that God's measure of a person was different than that of a man. And that's what we see here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. And it reads, "So it was, when they came, that he looked at Eliab and said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" And this is still true today. God measures a Christian, how he measures a Christian is different than what man looks at to measure a Christian. And this discussion today, I hope that we'll be able to review how we measure each other, as well as measure ourselves, and the way in which we carry ourselves and the things in which we do, and consider what is God's measure, and how we ought to also use God's measurement as we look at our brothers and sisters. Good morning. We just looked at chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, verses 6 and 7, talking about how God measures a Christian. And what we want to discuss today is how we measure a strong Christian. Now, of course, we as humans, we make mistakes. That's understandable. That's part of being human, I guess. But it's just natural that the first thing we do is look at a person on the outside. Sometimes, or most of the time, first appearances are lasting appearances. No matter what a person does, when you first meet them, you form an opinion of them, and that opinion sticks with you no matter what that person does. You know, yes.
Mm-hmm. You took that shot, there's no change.
Yeah, that's it. The one that rolls, slides out, 60 seconds. Yeah, I remember those. And that's kind of unfortunate on both sides of the spectrum, because especially with Christians, all of us were sinners to start with, you know. And if people see you as a sinner, then they look at you, the first thing they say is, oh, look at them. They think they're such a Christian now. They think they're such a God-fearing person. I remember when they did this and when they did that. Well, yeah, and I like to tell people when they say, if I hear them say stuff like that, I say, yeah, that was then, this is now. At one time, I was a little baby walking around pooping on myself, but I don't do that anymore, you know. I used to walk around and throw up all over myself. I don't do that anymore. So you can't judge a person or hold it against them from what they have done in the past. But we tend to do that. We look at a person, and when I say a person, I'm speaking of men and women of the church. If they attend all the services, they're at the church every time the doors open, we consider them to be a faithful brother or sister. And if they attend some of the services, then we look at them as, well, they're Christian, but they don't come every time, or they don't be here sometimes, and we find fault with it, and we hold it against them. If a person participates in church activities, we're saying, oh, yeah, they're a faithful Christian. They're always involved in a Bible study. They're always there for Bible study. This one teaches class. That one teaches Sunday school. Especially the ladies, you know, they work with the little kids. And if they doing work like that, we look at them as being strong Christians, very good individuals, ones that set an example. But if we don't see them do something, or they're not here at every time the door's open, then we feel like something to be desired about them. You know, they don't never come around when we have dysfunction, or we don't never see them, or they don't never bring anything when we having dinner or something. But we tend to criticize very quickly. Yes. Oh.
Don't hold it
again. We're going to put a tag.
So Lord willing, we'll be back.
Until you come back, we're going to hang that tag on you. Yeah, you know, Chuck and Kathy used to be here. Yeah. No, man, that's all right. We'll be praying for you, brother, until you return. I don't remember seeing that letter, but it must have been verbal. Okay. And as far as leadership, men are considered to be strong Christians if they lead singing, if they teach Bible class, if they deliver a sermon. And women, if they, as I said before, if they teach the children's class, or if they prepare the communion, if they doing work in the building, if they're always cleaning or straightening up or doing stuff, oh, they're strong. She's a strong Christian. She's a good person. But if they don't, we don't see them do anything, then we tend to criticize and not think of them as being strong Christians. Now, the problem with this, the same as what we read in 1 Samuel, we're all looking at the outward appearance. And that's not what God looks at. A person can come to church every Sunday, sit in the pew, be the first one there. Can throw money in the plate more than anybody else in the congregation. And their heart is still not right. But first thing we say is, oh, yeah, we ain't going to talk about that brother. He's good. You know, he's always here. He's the best contributor we got. You know, he always contributing. But on the inside, he's lacking a whole lot. Now, mind you, this lesson is not for us to start looking at each other and criticizing and picking out and judging, because we're not supposed to judge nobody anyway. If we want to judge anybody, we can judge ourselves as to whether or not we are living up to these standards before we get to condemning anybody else about what they do. Also, the same thing can be said for a hypocrite. You know, every one of us struggles with something, with sin, some kind of sin. What one person struggles with might not be the same as what I struggle with. What I struggle with might not be the same as what you struggle with. But we all struggle with something, because the devil is always at us 24/7. So we have that constant fight. Remember last time I was talking about how we continuously try to be committed and what we have to do to stay committed? We had this constant fight of trying to do the right thing and asking God to give us the strength to help us to do that. So only way we know within ourselves whether or not we are a hypocrite. We're trying to put our best foot forward. We're trying to show ourselves approved. We try to do what the Lord would have us to do. Sometimes our actions doesn't measure up to what we ourselves would like to present ourselves to be. And sometimes other people can see some of the things that we do. But no one is perfect. And it's not going to happen overnight. It's something that we work at. That's why we are a work in progress. Now, we know that in the body of Christ, there are many, there are many avenues, many faces to the body of Christ, many things that we do. That's why all of us are different. Some of us can teach. Some of us can sing. Some of us can go out into the world to, they are better at visitation than some others, because one person may work and another one doesn't. That person that doesn't have more time than the person that works. Some are better at being attentive to people's needs. When I say be attentive to people's needs, it's just like they have a tendency to have the ear to the ground, so to speak. They know when other people are struggling with a certain thing, even though the person may not be known, you know, it's not known to everyone, because they have a knack of being able to reach out to people and talk to people. And the people may feel more comfortable letting them know things. That's just, it's a good quality, it's a good trait. I don't even know how you could label that, but it's a trait I wish we all could have, and we do with some. And we have to work at not forming our little circles. This section over here, just these people hang together. This section over here, just these people hang together. We all are the body of Christ. We all working for the same goal. We all trying to get to heaven. But sometimes it seems like we are more concerned about this person and not so concerned about that one. And it's not so much that it is, it's just that everybody thinks that somebody else is going to take care of that situation. I can't remember how it goes about somebody thought that everybody was going to do something for somebody. I can't get it right, I should leave it alone. But what it involves, or what it's saying, is that nobody does it because everybody else thinks somebody else is going to take care of it, you know, which is just like if you see a piece of paper on the floor, you just, the cleanup person will get it, because you just don't think about reaching down and picking it up yourself. Not that you don't want to. Oh, yeah, oh, I don't know. Can you get that? Oh, yeah, sure, I don't mind. But you have to be asked, you know. You're not going to voluntarily do it unless somebody asks you. Because we figure, hey, somebody else can do it. Oh, that's their job, you know. And then sometimes it tends to get in a situation where if a person does something, then everybody assumes that they're going to keep on doing it. It becomes their job, you know. It's like I worked at on a job once. Every time I went into the bathroom, now just to see what it takes to be a strong Christian, what is the measure of what God looks at? Turn over to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And these qualities, this is what is truly spiritual. This is the evidence that is truly led by the Spirit of God. Can I get someone to read that one? 22 and 23, chapter 5.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Okay, we are known as, we know these as the fruits of the Spirit. If we use this to govern ourselves and try to live up to that, try to have these traits, then this is what someone will see. As we all know, you can say one thing, people will hear you, but what do? They look at what you do. Because they want to see if what you say coincides with what you do. And if it doesn't, they're very quick to criticize. Oh, you say it so-and-so and so. Yes, see, you do so-and-so and so. How are you going to tell me? First thing that they say, which they're true about. How can you tell somebody else if you can't do it yourself? Also in Galatians chapter 6, which should be maybe on your next page, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that we do it. Okay, brother, just a minute. I'm not saying that we do it. But I'm talking about people that consider themselves Christian on a whole. Mm-hmm. That is any type of Christian. Whether we know that we are in the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, other people consider themselves Christian because they go to Ebenezer, First Baptist, whatever. And these people think they're Christians because they are of the holiness sect. And some others think they're Christians because they are in the Catholic Church. But what do our actions show? When you see a person that is supposed to be a brother, and they have fallen into a sin, and in this case the Bible said trespass, and any trespass, which is known as a sin, how do you approach them? Man, you know you shouldn't do that. First thing, what we said, first thing, brother, you better take that bass out your boy. Right? You know, and I was, sister would say, wait a minute there, sister, don't come at me like that, you know, or something to that effect, because all you're doing is pushing them further away from you. They're not going to listen to you. Well, if you come to him with gentleness and consider yourself, because you could very easily be in the same situation, then you may win them over. And the purpose of trying to come to them is so that they will repent and change their way. Okay, brother.
Now, we need to be kind and compassionate to one another. It's very important that we treat one another with respect, and don't be so judgmental of an individual, because that is sometimes easy to do.
Very easy. Very easy.
But I find it hard to do because I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, and I also believe when you put yourself in somebody else's shoes, that helps.
Yeah.
Because then you understand a little bit more what they might be going through.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a difference. All the difference in the world.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Your approach would be a whole lot different.
Yeah.
That is also part of our job with people that are not Christians. Because the way in which we approach them and talk to them and tell them or try to get them to see that that's not the way in which they should be living, they may listen to you, especially if they can see in you that you are not that type of person. They may be a little envious of you because of how you live, but they feel like they just, I can't do it. And you approach them and tell them what you are doing is nothing so great, but because of God that's in you, maybe they will consider that, I'm going to go to church with you then. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to see what you all about. And you might have an opportunity to change them. Yes.
That's why you're letting your light shine, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Letting your light shine in a dark world.
Yes.
Even if it's just, if your light bulb's putting out just 1 watt in a dark enough world, that is bright.
Very much.
So, yes, if they will come to you seeking what? And again, opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have that patience. I too think that's a learned skill.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after being a soldier for 22 years, there's no such thing as being, I say, patient. You get your little self.
Yeah. Their language is a whole lot different than what we live by out
there. It wasn't. I did not succumb to a language.
Uh-huh. That atmosphere.
And so with the authority that came with the rank that you that provided to you, you're required to exercise it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you're not going to coddle a soldier
right
into being combat ready. You have to mold him and make him. And so understanding what requires of that. So trying to shift gears.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you know what you want to do. You know, they probably just need a whole lot of face.
At times they do.
Yeah, sometimes. You know, yeah. I understand that. But again, it's just like you mentioned earlier, some people have that ability to sense something's quite not right with that sister. She needs a heart.
Mm-hmm.
She's not, and I think what you're referring to, they don't overtly say something wrong, but hey, I know you enough.
Right.
Let me give you a hug even though you don't want it.
Right.
So, that kind of thing. But again, you develop that relationship. And so that's a skill. Just like being able to approach someone caught in error, that's a skill. But sometimes, to save a person, say, you're dead wrong, brother. And you keep going that way,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be lost forever.
There's a way in which to say that. But don't think that because you tell them that they're going to, oh, yeah, you're right, and just going to turn around. It's not going to happen. That's why it also says that we have to bear each other's burdens and be long-suffering. If we're trying to reach this person, save their soul, it may take more than one time to speak to them and say to them, but you got to still come to them the same way so that they can't say, you know, or you want them to say, you know, brother, since I've been knowing you, you always been the same. Rather than to say, behind your back, yeah, that brother's all right when he with these folks, but when he over here, you know, he's a different person. You know, that's not the trait of a strong Christian. Actually, that's not the trait of a Christian at all. You know, that's what we call being two-faced. You know, so we don't want that. You know. Can I see another hand? Some. Yes.
When we don't, and it's hard to, the fruits of the Spirit go against our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we get angry and upset. But the trouble that we get into in that kind of judgment is we're not giving them grace. And the reason we're not giving them grace is because we've lost focus on all the grace that God has given us. And when we forget that grace,
mm-hmm.
we're in trouble.
Yeah.
We're in bad trouble. We yeah. always have to remember how he cleaned us up.
Where we come from, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the fruits that I definitely struggle with all the time is that long-suffering, thinking your Bible, you read it as forbearing. Was it forbearing the word it? After love, joy, peace.
Forbearance.
And this, in my Bible it says long-suffering, and somebody else's Bible it might be something else.
Patience.
Patience, yeah. That is... That is something I need all the time.
We were raising our kids when they were those wonderful teenagers. we prayed for patience.
Mm-hmm.
We realized that we needed that.
Yes.
For the role that we were given, again, to be responsible. And it just appeared, brother, the only way that we were taught how to deal with patience is that the kids got into more trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, but again, God will give you what you need, but they may not be in the way that you expect.
Most times it's not.
It's not. And
yeah.
So when you ask for patience, it doesn't come in a box. It's not delivered to you, and you can open it up.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those life skills that has to be developed. And so so learning how to run a marathon, for example, you can ask and pray for it, but what you got to do, brother, you got to get out there and start trotting.
Yeah.
And then 1 mile, 2 miles, next thing you know, you're up to marathon. So same with learning how to deal with patience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just different stages.
You have to build up to it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what is patience? You know, there's no definitive quantity. You can't quantify that.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that you are, you have the ability to do, just like kindness. Can't quantify kindness, but more often than not, you can tell someone who is kind.
Oh, yeah.
Someone who is not.
Yeah.
You can tell someone who is patient, someone who is not. But again, there's those wonderful mysteries that God has put in all of us, and the ability to try to aspire to better a better state in every measure of our being.
You definitely can't lose that desire. To want to have it. If you lose that, like you said, you lost, you know, you lose that grace, you lose that desire, then you're just as bad as the person that you're confronting or is confronting you. And you definitely need patience when someone is confronting you in a situation where it's not favorable. That's the best way I can put it. Especially if it's verbal and you're being assaulted. Oh, it takes a lot of patience. A whole lot of patience to not to retaliate for one. But you have to show Christ in you and try to bring that situation down. If you can have the patience and bring calmness into the situation, maybe something can be accomplished. But if you do the same, then we lose that aspect or that we lose that characteristic of a strong Christian because we are no better than the person that's confronting us. And most times out of not, it's still the devil's work. You know, remember, 24/7. I mean, anytime, anywhere. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be on a Saturday. It can be anytime, anywhere, any day. When you least expect it, the devil's gonna try to do something to you, throw some stumbling block in your way to get you to fly off the handle. Anything that is not becoming of a Christian, then he's sitting back. You know, that's not what we want. Yes.
Well, we all want to be like Christ, and part personality.
Mm-hmm.
He had all this.
Yes.
And then that last line there, against such things there is no law. You're not going to go to jail for loving somebody.
That's true.
You're not going to go to jail for having an super gentleness. You know, all these things, there's no law. You can have as much as you want. And I think in each of those things, as you accumulate them, you'll get better and better at the other things will come as well.
Yes.
So as we're walking to look like him, this is our little cue card. Okay, I gotta follow this one. I gotta do that one too.
Mm-hmm.
Work on that one. This. But if I want to look like Jesus, here's his personality right here.
Very much. And one other thing to remember, that part about where it says turn the other cheek, let me show you one aspect of turning the other cheek. When someone's coming at you, arguing, raising Cain, and fussing, and carrying on, and trying to draw a lot of attention, this is turning the other cheek. Some people can't do that. Why can't you? It's very, very simple. Put one foot in front of the other. As Jesus said to Satan, get behind me, get thee behind me. If you turn around, they will be behind you, and you start walking. Now, if they come behind you and do something to you, that's a different story, but still there's ways to handle it too, you know. But what we as Christians sometimes fail to realize, we can walk away. That's turning the other cheek. It don't mean you stand there and let them hit you on this side and then hit you on that side. That's not necessarily turning the other cheek. It is turning the other cheek, but that sounds more to me like being a glutton for punishment. You know, turn the other cheek is turn and walk away. Keep your sanity. Keep your peace. Keep Christ in you. Be that light and show an example of what you should do. One other thing, because my time is up, I wanted to bring out, as I said before in this was not to make us look at others and try to judge others as to whether or not, is that a good Christian? Is he a strong Christian? It's basically for us to look at ourselves, because what we exhibit is what others see. So if you want people to know that you are trying to live the life of a strong Christian, then exhibit the traits of a strong Christian as best as you can. No one is perfect, but strive to do that, and they will see that. And then we would not be looking at the appearance, outward appearance. We'd be looking more at the inner appearance. That's my lesson for this morning. I hope you all get something out of it. Thank you all.